الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, I have recited a verse from the 30th para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining about this insan. Allah ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى, that you are giving preference to this dunya, whereas the akhirat is better for you. Now any complaint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against this insan should make us worried that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining about us. If the school has to call up the parent gets worried. I don't know what's wrong with my child. Why am I being called up? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining about us. Now we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, on the one side He's telling us that we must not give preference to this dunya over the akhirah. But at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you can take benefit from the dunya. You can take benefit from the dunya. And the love of the dunya, Allah ta'ala has placed it into our hearts. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ Allah ta'ala says the love for this dunya is very, very strong in your hearts. In many other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the love of the things of this dunya being beautified for this insan. Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ, that the love for desired things have been beautified for you. Whether it be woman, whether it be children, whether it be heaps of wealth, whether it be other things of the dunya, they have been beautified for you. But now the question arises that if the love of the dunya must not overtake us, and we must have more love for the akhirat, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this love into in our hearts for this dunya? Mufassirin mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom, He created this love for the dunya in our hearts because if we didn't have love for this dunya, then this dunya will not continue. No one will want to work. No one will want to earn. You won't have anyone looking for a job. You won't want any, you'll not have any person looking for someone who's looking for a job. No one will want to fulfill their needs. You won't want any, there will be no one to buy anything. So Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He has created this love of the dunya in our hearts so that this dunya can continue. Secondly, another wisdom is, if Allah Ta'ala did not create the love of things in our heart, then you will not even desire Jannah also. Then no one will do any work, no one will try to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. so that he can get the Jannat and the things of the Jannat. And the third wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. That we made these things beautiful for you and attractive to you, so that we will test them. We will see which person, he gets swayed by the dunya. Does it take him away from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or does it bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whether the person, he gets attracted to the makhluk, the creation, or he gets attracted to the khaliq, the one who created those things. Once Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, a lady came and asked a question. Obviously behind the veil, she asked the question. And the question was, is it permissible for my husband to take a second wife? So he replied, the Shariat has allowed him, as long as he fulfills the rights of Allah, and he fulfills the rights of the creation, those people that are under him, then Shariat has allowed him. So she, in return, she said, that if only I could show you my beauty. Obviously I can't. If only I could show you my beauty, and then ask you the question, that how is it possible for my husband, who looked at such a beautiful wife, how is it possible for him to look at someone else? When she said this, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi fell unconscious. She went away. When he gained consciousness, so the Muridin and his disciples around him asked him, what happened? He said, when she said that if my husband saw my beauty, then how is it possible for him to look at someone else? Immediately my mind went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If on the day of Qiyamah Allah ta'ala will ask me, you have such a beautiful Allah, such an Allah who has given you everything, how is it possible that you turned away from Allah and you disobeyed Ya Allah and you looked at someone else? So immediately when we look at the makhluk around us, the creation around us, it must remind us of Allah. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ The dunya has been created for you, but you have been created for the akhirah. You will use the things of the dunya, you will use it for the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this love for the dunya in our heart. And Allah ta'ala has allowed us to have this love and to use the things of the dunya. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, that we must not give preference to the dunya over the akhirah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very clearly, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا. That if your families, whether it be your parents, whether it be your children, whether it be your other family members, whether it be your businesses, all these things must not be more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when there is a clash between the command of Allah and what your family is telling you to do, and at that time, what are you going to do? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when his son had accepted Iman, in the battle of Badr, he was still not a Muslim. Later on, when he accepted Islam, he told his father that in the battle of Badr, I had you in my sights. Obviously, he came with the kuffar to fight. I had you in my sights. I wanted to kill you, but I thought to myself that you are my father, so therefore I never killed you. Abu Bakr Siddiq Ranu said that if you came in front of me, then I wouldn't have hesitated in killing you. Why? Because you came to fight against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be more beloved to us than anything else. We are sitting in our businesses. Business is bad. Everything is quiet. And then we get some backdoor stuff coming in. Coming at a very cheap price also. But at that time, what are we going to do? Are we going to give preference to the command of Allah? Or we are going to be overtaken by that sin? The azan is going. At that time, are we going to give preference to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or that very big customer just came in now. I can read my salah a little later, but I will read it alone. And I will miss it in the masjid with jamaat. What are we going to do at that time? Allah praises the sahaba radiallahu anhum. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. They were such people that their people's businesses, etc., did not distract them from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never distracted. So respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining about this insan. He's giving preference to the dunya over the akhirah. And in one area which I wish to speak about in the last few minutes, we find that we are giving preference to the dunya over the akhirat is in the education of our children. That is the dini education of our children. We find that so much of emphasis is placed into the hearts of our children also about the importance of secular education. That much of importance is not shown to dini education. And we see it everywhere. Every day we see it. Those people that are teaching in madrasas, they will tell you that how much of money is spent for the secular education. And so many times, the parent is not prepared to pay the small amount for the madrasa fees. Sometimes you'll get the child, he's going for stationery for his school, he buys so much of expensive stationery. He can't even buy a pen or pencil for madrasa. Then you get that same child, the parent who is prepared to take off from madrasa. He can miss his madrasa, but he can't miss his school. I haven't heard of a child is taking off from school to come to madrasa. It's always the other way around. Likewise, you also find there's so much of money that is spent on tuition for schools. First of all, we are spending so much exorbitant prices only on the fees of the school. And then over and above that, we're paying for the tuition, but you don't have tuition with regards to madrasa. So this indicates to our child, we're showing the importance to our child, we're showing him what is more important. Then when the report even comes also, if he does bad in the school, we get upset with him. If he does good, we're rewarding him. But when that madrasa report comes, then we're not worried about it. So this is a very, very important point that we need to bring about in our children, that madrasa is more important than school. Yes, they are allowed to go to school. No one is stopping them from going to school. But at the same time, not at the expense of their madrasa. And today we are sitting with another two problems. One problem is, you find parents saying that we are sending our children to Muslim schools. So therefore there's no need to send my child to the maktab in the afternoon. Now obviously the school, the main interest of the school and the main object of the school is secular education, it's not madrasa education. It's just like a conventional bank who's saying we got a branch of Islamic banking also. Obviously that doesn't make it an Islamic bank, it's just one branch of it. So that Muslim school, the most important thing is there was is secular education. It is not the Islamic education that is with it. It just comes by the way. That same child, whether he's going to the school or not, he still has to go to the madrasa in the afternoon. He has to go in an environment where the main purpose is only teaching about deen. And secondly, you find some people, they're saying, oh, we're sending our children not to Muslim, a non-Muslim school, a private school, very, very expensive. Why are we sending them there? No, because of the discipline. There's more discipline there. But in the expense of his deen, we're not worried about that. He can lose his deen, we're not worried about that. So Islam does not prohibit you from educating yourself as far as secular education is concerned, but not in the expense of one's deen. And we are so fortunate that we have makatibs and madrasas where our children can go. So they can go to school so they can also go to that madrasa. And what's the benefit of these makatibs when we will send our children to the maktab and the madrasas? Number one, their aqidah and their beliefs will remain intact. A small child was asked, who is the most powerful person? He replied about one cartoon character. Whereas the first thing a mu'min says is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. And he's saying, who is the greatest? A cartoon character. The second thing that will happen is, after the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be created in the child, the greatness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be created in the child. Now, oh children, who are the idols? Some pop star, some film star, some sportsman. But the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Sahaba Anu will be created. Then desire for akhirat will be created. So many children were not attending these madaris, and they're only going to school. Some of them are becoming, many of them are becoming atheists. Allah protect us. Now they're questioning, who's Allah? What is Allah? The second thing that will happen after our aqidah and our beliefs will become strong. Second is our amal will become strong, our actions will become strong. Now the child will know the importance of salah, the importance of the other ibadat. He'll know the importance of respect to parents, his mu'asharat. He will understand the respect of what is mu'amalat, business dealings. He will understand all these masail. He will understand the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very, very important, unfortunately, what we are doing today is that we are showing our children that dini knowledge is not important, but the dunyawi knowledge is important. We are giving preference to the dunya over the akhirah. I will end off with one incident. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah has mentioned that there was a parent who had sent his son overseas to Germany to study, whether to do medicine or engineering, whatever. He sent him. So when the son returned, after he finished his studies, he got very, very ill. Whilst he was on his deathbed, so the father started crying. So the son asked the father, why are you crying? He said, no, I will not see the fruits of all that money that I spent on your education. So then the son started crying. So the father is asking the son, why are you crying? He's saying, I am crying and I'm sad because you did not spend anything for my akhirat. How am I going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you gave nothing for the akhirat? So respected elders and brothers in Islam, when we will give our children the deeni knowledge, it will not only benefit them, it will benefit us also. When we leave this world, that same child will be a sadaqah jariyah for us. He will read that Quran, he will read that salah, he will send the rewards to us. And the same child, when he stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be able to stand in such a way like a true Muslim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him will give us high, high stages in Jannah because of the same child that we have brought up in the correct way. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal what I have said, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to realize our object in this dunya, that our object in this dunya is to earn the akhirat. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.